Checkmate 1-6, immediate suppression on target.
That's why I see him in the shot.
Shot or no shot with Cap'n J-Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
That's why I see him in the shot.
Good morning and welcome in to the Cap'n J-Hood Morning Show here on ESPN 1000, and we're streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. David Kaplan's off today. I'm Jay Hood here on the Cap'n J-Hood Morning Show. Time for Shot or No Shot, brought to you by...
That would be Club Hawthorne Betting Bars, featuring horse racing, video slots, and sports betting throughout Chicagoland. We say good morning to Snorley. Good morning, boys. How are we? Hoodie, how you doing? Nice to have no Kaplan.
I'm great. Time to rock and roll!
Whatever he says.
Little vacation for us this week.
No question about
that. While Cap's over in Europe.
By the way, speaking of horse racing, so who had Mage? Was it you or
Cap
Jay Moore?
Cap had Mage.
Cap had Mage.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, because we did our draft on Friday. I forgot who had Mage, so he had Mage on his... Yeah, so we had a couple of late scratches in that spot. 7.5 hours of coverage. That's more than the Super Bowl. That's a lot. And NBC kept it fresh, I'll tell you that. It's one of those things, right? It's just on in the background. You're not sitting there watching all 7 hours, right? 7.5 hours. But just, like, it's amazing coverage. Beautiful HD. I mean, and Mage ends up winning. Didn't expect that.
I watched about 20 minutes. I turned it on. They were running a promo, and they go, talking about Secretariat, here's another GOAT who you'll know. And it was Tom Brady doing a voiceover, and it sounded nothing like Tom Brady. I couldn't figure out what was going on there. It worked on his voice now.
Probably AI.
I mean, it was odd.
Maybe it wasn't really him.
And before we get to the actual shot or no shot question, somebody in the Twitch chat asked this. I want to ask you, Hoodie, shot or no shot, Cap has told the Nowitzki story to someone on his Europe trip.
Oh, that's a shot. Of course. When in Europe, what do? You just exhaust all your stories that people have heard 100 times.
Well, especially when in Europe you talk about Dirk.
Oh, of course.
Do you know Dirk?
Probably. Yeah, I tune it out. Like, whenever, when you heard it like 7 or 8 times, it's like he's grandfatherly like that, right? And working with him, it's like the movie 50 First Dates. It's just like, hey, good morning, Cap. Hey, are you from the South Side? Yeah, still from the South Side. So it's like the 51st dates. He can't remember one conversation to the other. So it wouldn't surprise me if he's talked about Nowitzki a million times by now. He's only been there for a few days. Here's Shay Norling. Shay?
All right, let's start with this. Peter King's Football Morning in America this morning released his first 2023 NFL power rankings, and he had the Bears very near the bottom of the list at 29, ahead of just the Texans, the Bucks, and the Arizona Cardinals. Shot or no shot, 29 for the Bears is way too low.
That's a no shot. It's a no shot. Because perception is reality, Shay, as you well know. Like I just laid out for you when Luke Getsy said earlier, talking about how Justin Fields was amongst the least productive passers in the league last season, how the defense was the worst in my lifetime, especially when you only have 20 sacks as a team. I mean, if nothing else about the Bears over the years, at least the Bears were able to get to the quarterback. They didn't win a lot of games, but if nothing else, the defense was stout. Well, not this time around. You had an offense and defense that was terrible. So I just think that's just a perception. Now, are we more optimistic saying that's going to be better than 28th for the upcoming season? Absolutely. But they only based it on the numbers they saw last year. It's all you can do. You and I can look at it with a keen eye and say there's improvement. It's just like I said in the last segment, improvement on the offensive line, improvement with the defense, especially the linebacker core. You've got you got DJ Moore, arguably could be in the conversation as a top 10, top 15 receiver in the league. Either way, it's just better than anything the Bears have had in a long time. So I can understand why that's the case. They put it based on how bad the defense and offense was for the Bears last year. So that's a no shot. They deserve what they get at 28.
It's interesting. The entire thing falls on Justin Fields here from Peter King. Bears have fixed a lot of things in one offseason without question and could be anywhere from 31 to 13 by December. But today I need to see more of Justin Fields, the passer, to fall in like with this team.
It's fair.
It is fair. It's. I think that's kind of why everybody's talking about the Bears that they are. Like 15 minutes ago, you brought up they were on Get Up, and they aren't asking Trevor Lawrence questions. Well, we saw Trevor Lawrence play like a top five quarterback for the better part of the entire season last year and take the Jags to the playoffs. I think the Bears are kind of similar to what they were in that if Fields, if you flip heads on the coin flip and he comes up great, then this team could be in the top 15, top 10 in the league. If Fields continues to look like he has as a passer, then yeah, it's a shot. The Bears would be about 29th.
It's a big IF in if. Huge IF. Huge. And the reason why it's huge is because, remember last year, Justin Fields would be in the pocket late in the game and then look around and didn't see anybody open. And he didn't want to have to run, but he had no other choice. And so that's a disconnect for a lot of people. It's just like, what can he do in the pocket? But again, you have to look at this with perspective. What did the Bears have to enhance and increase their chances to win offensively? Justin Fields is just one guy. Look at what he had to deal with. Look at the offensive line that was in front of him. Now, here's what this upcoming season is going to bring. We remove the excuses for this upcoming season because now you got new blood in there. Now what's Justin going to do? And even if Justin is just halfway decent, you give him another year because you want him to have a little bit more polish. That's only fair. That's just, again, as much as I want him to be Patrick Mahomes yesterday, that's just not who he is. Not yet. Maybe not ever. I just want him to be a durable quarterback in the pocket where he doesn't have to run all over the place. I don't want Lamar Jackson. I just want the best Justin Fields. Shay.
All right. The Athletic's Mike Sando talked to an unnamed NFL executive who praised Ryan Poles for taking Darnell Wright in the draft. Mm-hmm. He said, quote, "I think Chicago looked at Detroit as the model for how to build a solid offensive line. Think how many picks Detroit has used to shore up that line." Well, Detroit has three of their own first-round picks on the offensive line. Taylor Decker in 2016, that was 7 years ago. Frank Ragnow in 2018 and Penei Sewell in 2021. They finally got that line shored up in 22. Looks better now going forward. Mm-hmm. Shot or no shot, whether the Bears model Detroit or not, they can't take 7 years to build it.
Oh, that's a shot. 7 years. Now listen, I'm the first one to preach the P word. I'm always about the P word. But when it
patience,
comes
to be clear,
yeah, no, it's actually something else. But nonetheless, no, when it comes to patience, though, Shay, I'm all for that. But when I say patience, I'm talking about a couple years, not seven. You see what I'm saying? Because if that's the case, if it's 7 years and you still not to where you're going to be, there won't be any Ryan Poles. There just won't, because by that time, there'll be two coaches. That's two head coaches. There'll be a new quarterback. Probably a new system. Getsy will be a head coach by then. Like, all these things would happen. So, no, it's not 7 years, Jay Moore.
Football is like dog years, man. it's
like, yeah.
Every year is like 7 years.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's true.
Like, people, Cap always brings up Detroit. I bring up Detroit a lot as kind of a model that you can chase. But part of why I have issue with it always coming up in how they built their offensive line, that was two GMs and three coaches ago when they took Taylor Decker. That's not their current regime. So when you think about what the Bears have to do if this regime is going to be successful, you can't model it the way some of these other teams did because they fired general managers in the path of building this.
Now,
that's not what we want.
Now, you can model it based on what they have today.
Based on
his roster composition. Like Holmes as the GM, I have no idea. I have no idea if he's going to be a top GM or one of the best. I have no idea. I've never believed in Dan Campbell as a head coach. I think that he's going to grow into the position just like his other assistant coaches. I have no idea. But as far as where they are now, they're on the precipice of being a playoff team. Is it sustainable? That's the hope if you're a Lions fan. But if you're going to build it just like the Lions and take all that time to get there, no. And also, I don't want to be the Lions in which I still look at that draft, especially early, and still scratch my head. I still don't understand what they did in the draft early. I still don't get it. But as is, the team is solid. And I want the Bears to be able to get there at least, because that means that they've taken a step, but not 7 years to get there. So, no. I like what they have, but not the amount of time it took to get there. Shay.
All right, I want to ask about the White Sox. They won their second straight series yesterday and improved to 4-2 since Tim Anderson's return from the injured list. The Sox were 3-15 when Anderson was on the injured list for 18 games. Since 2020, they're 67-84 without Tim, 15 games under, and 154-114 with him. That's 40 games over 500 with Tim Anderson since 2020. Shot or no shot, Tim Anderson is the most important player to their team in Chicago.
So let's talk about this for a second. Okay. So with the Cubs, because the Cubs are just kind of not rebuilding, but they are adding on to what they already have, $300 million plus in payroll that they added this offseason. There's not one player I'm like, oh, for the Cubs, if they don't have Dansby Swanson, that no, because it's still new and fresh, right? Same thing with their starting rotation. There's not one guy like, oh, my God, if you don't have this guy, then the Cubs are, no, because they're still trying to build towards something. The Blackhawks have leveled the franchise. They're trying to build towards something, so they don't have a pillar. The Bulls, the same way. So the Bulls, so Zach LaVine means a lot to the Bulls. But I got a feeling like if Zach's not there, the Bulls are definitely a lottery team. That is for sure. Tim Anderson, Cubs, Sox. I feel like that, based on the numbers you gave me, that Tim is the most important guy to the White Sox. But then when you think about it, Shay, what does that really mean? All right, you gave the numbers, but ultimately, what does that really mean as far as trying to be a contender in the American League? Like, yes, he helps the Sox win. But is he the guy that can push them over the top? I understand the question. I'm just saying that is he so important that if he's not on the team, that the Sox would just collapse?
Right. That's like the one I brought up is Justin Fields and the importance. Because if the Bears lose Fields, they're dead in the water. They can't replace that. That's it. It's over. But they might lose with him. And it's like if the White Sox lose Tim, yeah, they're probably done, but they might lose with him. So where do you rank the importance? Like, the Bears, to me, are much more dead without Fields than the White Sox are without Tim.
I can make the argument that the Bears could have won 3 games with Trevor Siemian. No, seriously.
They might have won 0.
No, I give them 3 wins. Over under on wins for Trevor Siemian. That offensive line, same weapons. So what you're saying is that you don't get the running from Siemian, so that means they just lose all the games? Trevor Siemian would have won a couple of games. At the very least. With that team?
I don't know, man.
0 wins?
The San Francisco game, I don't know. Yeah, I think it could have been 0 with Siemian. I mean, now we're so deep into a hypothetical conversation, but I think it's interesting, like, there's no arguing without Fields, the Bears are toast.
Correct.
So is he more important than Tim Anderson, who over 250 games, we see 40 games over 500?
It's a tough one. I would say that Justin Fields and his future is more important than Tim Anderson on the Sox. With Tim Anderson on the Sox, it's Tim getting on, but then what about the rest of the team? Especially when this team is often injured. That's the other thing too, right? Like, I can put it all on Tim. Like, boy, if you don't have Tim, you can't win. Well, I mean, there's others that should be able to step up, and we don't get that on a regular basis. Now, over the last couple of series, I've been very happy with the Sox, especially what they did against Minnesota and against Cincinnati here. But it's a great question. But I will just say that Justin Fields, based on what he could do, I think I'm more optimistic about that because Tim has been with the team and healthy, and yet the team can't get over the hump with Tim. So I'll say that Justin is number one on that list. But Tim's a close second, though. But like I said, Shay, if you have Tim on the team, if he's healthy, what about the rest of the ball? What about the rest of the ball club?
Fair.
He can't pitch. He can't pitch for them.
It's the same with the Bears. Fields could be healthy, but got a lot of things we need to see happen for that to matter a ton.
We put so much on individual players, but that's sports, though, right? When you're a star, It's all on your shoulders, so I totally get it. Hey, we're going to hear from Courtney Cronin on the Bears coming up at 8:35. But coming up next, around the NFL, news and notes you might have missed over the weekend. We'll give it to you coming up next. Jay Hood on the Cap and Jay Hood Morning Show.
Okay, it's about that time. You're tuned in to the Cap and Jay Hood Show.
Everything ain't hardcore, you know.
On Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
Nick Foles sucks. He sucks.
I'm just a fan. I'm not a football evaluator.
I love the Green Bay Packers.
The guy is drunk, but there he goes.
This is not Detroit, man. This is the Super Bowl.
I want winners.
He starts to come and then he pulls out.
This is a really thickly built guy.
I mean, what's the answer you're looking for on these things here?
It's time to look around the National Football League right here on the Cap and Jay Hood Morning Show here on ESPN 1000 with you until 10. Then Bleck and Abdallah step in from 10 to noon. Carmen and Yurko from 12 to 2. Waddle and Sylvie from 2 to 6 right in the White Sox baseball as the Sox take on the Kansas City Royals. Dylan Cease on the mound for the Sox. 6 o'clock start right here on the home of the White Sox, ESPN 1000. Around the NFL, here's Shay Norling. Shay?
Let's start with this, Hoodie. Cam Newton said the reason he's not on an NFL roster is because of his hair. If you haven't seen Cam Newton's hair in a while, he's got something going on. It sticks way up, like 6-7 inches off the top of his head, just straight up in a knot. And he said that he's spoken to a few teams that said, Cam, we'd like to bring in, but we want the 2015 clean-cut Cam, not this version.
Okay. The key quote to that, Shay Norling, is it's always mentioned to me, according to Cam Newton, Cam, you're scaring people with your look. Cam, you're scaring people with how you look.
Damn.
Well, okay. Two things here. One, Cam's not in the league because Cam is not the Big Ben-looking tight end that was playing quarterback and it was taking a beating while he was playing the position at quarterback. So I think that teams have passed on him, not necessarily because of his hair. I think they passed on him because they don't know if he could still take the beating. And this is why when we talk about those that take a beating like Josh Allen or Lamar Jackson or Cam Newton in this conversation, I think that some, you know, and even Justin Fields to an extent, they don't want quarterbacks that's been beaten down like an old boxer. And I really believe that that's the reason. Also, Cam, if I'm not mistaken, tell me if I'm wrong, wasn't at the end he became a vegan and like slimmed down? So I think that also plays a part where it's like, okay, you're not the big guy anymore to take a beating. When you get hit now, it's going to hurt and you might be out for a while. I think that's the reason more so than him looking the way he does.
Well, that and like he had the little renaissance for a couple weeks with the Patriots where it looked like he was back. Then he got COVID and he never really recovered. He hasn't played in the NFL since 2021. The last time he played, he started 5 games, went 0-5, completed less than 55% of his passes. Like, part of it is, if the running isn't there, you're just not that great of a QB. And, like, you gotta be. Maybe he's a better backup than some of the backups, but he probably wants more money, too. Like, Cam isn't gonna come into the league to be Nathan Peterman.
Yeah, I mean, he would rather not be a backup. I think that also was a story where he's like, yeah, I'm a starter in this league. Well, at one time, Cam Newton was a starter in this league. Absolutely he was. Just not QB1 today in 2023. Is there a place for Cam Newton in the National Football League? Absolutely, there's a place for him. But also, you got to understand, he's not the guy that took the beating that he once did when he first got in the league. He says, I don't think I'll ever retire. Retire from what? Like, he said, you'll never retire. Like, looks like the NFL has already retired him.
Yeah, he does deserve a place in the NFL. His MVP season, he'll get a nice little placard in the Hall of Fame.
I just think that it's about health more than anything else. It's not about, listen, we talk about like James Harden and Russell Westbrook and some of these other guys, the way they dress. And we've gone over this before on the show. The idea that you open up a closet and some clothier says, hey, wear this. And it's Met Gala week, so wear this, wear whatever it is, right? We've seen some outlandish outfits. Cam Newton was like that, too. I mean, he looked like a guy from overseas. Got the little bow tie, and like the hair is a certain way. And
the hats,
looking like my aunt. Some of the hats he used to wear with the tag hanging down, like Minnie Pearl. I mean, all these things, right? He was a fashion icon. He was still in the league, so it doesn't matter about what he looks like as much as it is, can you play the game? And can you stay healthy?
Yeah, so we also have a story out of New York where I know National Lampoon's European Vacation, David Kaplan, is all high on the Jets, but it's not all good for New York because Quinnen Williams, the defensive tackle, wants to reset the market. The two are nowhere close to a contract extension, and the blog boys are starting up the trade rumors.
Okay. Do you expect him to be with the same team when the season starts?
Yeah, I think there's no way he's not a Jet.
Yeah.
But you never want to be in this position.
When you're a Jet, you're a Jet.
Yeah, when you're a Jet all the way. Everything's hunky-dory. Everything's good with the Jets. Get Aaron Rodgers in there and all everything else. And now here comes Quinnen Williams raising his hands like, hey, what about me? Hey, man, if you're Robert Saleh, you just got, can I just get some, just one day a piece? Can I just get some piece? Something? I think this is a call for Aaron Rodgers, by the way, because now he's a New Yorker, okay? He's a New Yorker. He can come in. He can be able to help this out now, Shay. Now that he's at a Ranger game, at the Ranger games, he's at the...
He's at every Knicks game. How many sporting events is this guy going to go to?
He's a New Yorker.
He's getting all the FaceTime. He's at more games than Jack Nicholson has ever been at.
I think he should step in there and help, right? Yeah, he's everywhere else. Why don't you just get yourself a desk, have half glasses on, and say, yeah, Quinnen, come on in, man. So why don't you stay with the team? Let's negotiate. But he's everything else. He's just firmly entrenched with New York. It's a great PR move by Aaron Rodgers. Great PR. Because he can just go back to California. Why is he around? Because it's a good look for him to be around, to be embraced by the city.
Aaron Rodgers serving ayahuasca tea in his office, you think?
No question about it. That's why he's going to get this deal done. He will talk to Williams.
I'm going to get you high, pal.
Here, man. Here, sip this. Hey, take it. Take, hold on. Now gurgle. Now swallow. Swallow. Nice. Nice. Now, let's talk about the deal. Hey, man, I want to just play, man. I just want to be a Jet.
Well, you have to wait for Quinnen Williams to stop vomiting before you can actually have a conversation with him.
There's premature vomiting, I read on this. A little gurgle, a little swallow, and then from there, a signing of the contract. Oh, God! That's so disgusting. That's the worst one we have. Does it immediately give you the squirts, Jay Bohr? Is that what you're saying, ayahuasca?
Oh, that's not right.
Does it give you the green apple quick steps? Is that what it does?
No.
It sounds like he didn't make it to the bathroom.
I mean, that's what Aaron Rodgers' office is, though. You've got the ayahuasca with the vomit mat, and then right next to it is the enema station. You've got all of his stuff laid out, and he's trying to get all the players in on it. It'll really change your outlook on life.
Hold on. Did you say the enema station?
Yes.
Okay.
I remember what was the thing when he was cleansing, the juice cleanse. It was like an enema.
The enema station. I've worked at a couple of those. So is Jay Moore. There's a couple of enema stations I worked for. Yeah. All right. Give us some other stuff. I know there's a lot that went around over the weekend.
I saw an interesting quote here from Nick Foles. He was being asked to sign an autograph, and he said, I was just signing an autograph, and I had to think. They wanted Super Bowl 52 MVP on it. And I said, wait, what Super Bowl was that again? Because I don't really think about it. Life goes on.
Oh, he knows what's going on. Stop. Now, he may have lost track of the Roman numerals. He may not be a Roman numerals guy, but you know exactly what Super Bowl that was. Come on now.
What's interesting, like as a fan, my most important Super Bowls to me, Super Bowl LI and Super Bowl XLIX. Those Roman numerals don't go anywhere.
Right. So
he won MVP. He beat Tom Brady. He should know what Super Bowl LII is.
Now, here's the thing about this. Like, I understand if it's 20 years down the road. Yeah, I was part of the Super Bowl team once. Yeah, it was Super Bowl, and you give the number, right? He's still in the league, barely, but he's still in the league, and he doesn't remember?
Well, right now, he's a little jobless. He's in flux.
Like I said, barely. Like, he'll pick up a job. He'll be on somebody's scrap heap. It's Nick Foles. You keep on there just for name recognition, if nothing else.
Man, acting like he played Super Bowl II or something. You know what I'm saying?
You got to remember, right?
Maybe Nick Foles bouncing from team to team does lend a little credence to what Cam Newton has to say.
Well, I guess. I mean, you never forget it, right? I mean, I know I would. I'd tattoo it on my arm. Look at this. Spell Super Bowl champion. That's me, pal. I brought him back from the dead. I would always remember that.
Very quickly, Nick Foles got released by the Colts. He's now jobless. And on the topic of the Colts, apparently the Commanders in 2022 inquired about bringing in Andrew Luck as their quarterback. Well, now Jim Irsay has issued a warning. Anyone who reaches out to Andrew Luck will be guilty of an NFL tampering violation.
Is that really tampering to the letter of the law?
He's under contract with the Colts. Despite his retirement, he remains under contract with the Colts.
There's a guy that's never coming back. God bless him, right? He got his money. The Bears retired him in an exhibition game. He got hurt and was done. I'm not coming back. La, la, la. He was done. There's a guy that, hey.
That's not right.
At 2019, it's been three seasons since we saw Andrew Luck. He's supposed to be the next big thing, and he's like, yeah, I'm good. Didn't want it.
Sometimes your luck run out.
All right, it's a fine.
There was a big feature recently.
Get his money. Get his money.
That's a dollar.
That's a fine.
There was a big feature recently with, I think it might have been Peter King, who talked to Andrew Luck. And really, you read it, and it's kind of heartbreaking. It's like, as much as I selfishly want to see Andrew Luck play football again, I'm also like, just for your well-being, stay away.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, whatever happened in that game against the Bears when they retired him, he was done. And left him in the lurch, too. How can you trust a guy? I mean, you're on the precipice of the season starting, like, yeah, I'm done.
He was the favorite for MVP.
Okay, I guess we'll never know. Maybe Courtney knows. I wanted to return the call to the Commanders. They asked about him. Did he call? Did he reach out? I'd like to know the other end of that conversation. If you're Washington, yeah, I would ask for Andrew Luck, too. Because you want to see, does he have...
They reached out to the Colts.
The Colts. How about Luck? Call him too, right? Does he still have the burning desire?
Yeah, you call Luck, you lose draft picks.
I mean, no one needs to know. Quietly. Quietly. Can't you do that? Shay, just quietly. Just like, hey, Andrew, still got the fire? Does it still burn? I'd ask.
You got to go through the equipment manager.
That's how you do it. Nice and quietly. Absolutely.
Hey, Tom Brady did it.
Yeah, man. Courtney Cronin with the latest on the Bears and what's happening over at Hallis Hall. We'll get to her coming up next. It's the Cap and J-Hood Morning Show. Back after this.
Here's today's headline. Headline with Cap and J-Hood.
Oh, I just did an old... Jay Moore says 15 seconds of headlines, and I'm looking all over the place for my headphones when it's around my neck. The White Sox win their second consecutive series yesterday with a 17-4 victory against the Reds. Second series win of the season, first road series win. The Sox will take on Kansas City pregame at 6 right here on the home of the White Sox, ESPN 1000. The Cubs lost the series finale in 14 innings to the Miami Marlins yesterday. They scored 5-4. The Cubs take 2 out of 3 in the series. It'll be Wilson Contreras and the St. Louis Cardinals. First pitch at 6:40 at the friendly confines. Will the Blackhawks get Connor Bedard in the NHL lottery? Find out tonight at 8 o'clock. NBA playoffs, Sixers beat the Celtics in overtime. Series tied at 2. Same thing with the Suns and the Nuggets. Series tied at 2 games apiece. Jay Moore.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Twitch at ESPN 1000 Chicago. Cap and Jay Hood are back on Chicago's Home for Sports. ESPN Chicago.
Keep your beak out of this.
Courtney Cronin, National Chicago Bears reporter for ESPN.
I think you have to temper expectations if you are a Bears fan, just given everything that this team had to kind of undo.
Breaking down the Bears and the latest NFL storylines.
Team transcendent quarterback Russ is not this guy. You know, he's very legacy conscious. He wanted to go to Denver and build something and win a Super Bowl there.
Courtney Cronin with Cap'n J Hood on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Hope you had a great weekend and a great Monday morning here on the Cap and J-Hood Morning Show here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. J-Hood in, Cap is off today as we go to the CarX Tire and Auto Hotline.
Rattle, rattle, thunder, clatter, boom, boom, boom.
Courtney Cronin covers the Bears in the National Football League for ESPN and ESPN.com. She joins us here on Cap and J-Hood. Good morning, Courtney.
I got something to tell you. Someone DM'd me yesterday and told me that they love hearing me on with you, sometimes with Cap, but mostly with you. And I need to keep my beak in it. What do we do about this?
Well, I mean, I'm always good with your beak being in the show. I'm always good with that.
I mean, but the phrase is to keep your beak out of it. So, I don't know. Maybe I need to go on TV and say the opposite. Like, is that where this is trending?
I think just using the word beak, I think that works either way, right? I just think it's one of these uncommon words where you describe someone being nosy. I just think the idea of you using beak either way, I think it works for me.
I think of like the Toucan Sam, the thing that was on the Fruit Loops box. Anytime I think of keeping my beak in something or out of something,
yes.
But I mean that's the image that's in my head, the lasting image.
So what I'm looking forward to from you now is for you to write it on ESPN.com. See how to get past the editors.
Just I mean, nothing gets past them ever. So, we'll try that one.
I think, see if Roman Modrowski minds you using the word beak. I want to see that. I think that's what I want to see next. That'd be awesome.
He and I have a lot of bones to pick with each other. Uh-huh. I'm sure that one is probably further down the list, but I will try to sneak that one past him when he gets back from vacation.
Just a term I think that we just don't use enough, and that's why I brought it up, because I'm old. So Courtney, I need to know about some of the things that you learned from the offensive line coach, Chris Morgan. I think out of everything that you wrote about or that you tweeted about regarding what's going to happen at House Hall, the offensive line is interesting. What did you glean from Chris Morgan?
He was very honest about the prospect that Darnell Wright staying at right tackle and that Braxton Jones competing at left tackle. They're not trying to overthink this and say, hey, we have, you know, a top 10 pick. He's probably projecting better as a left tackle. Let's play him at left tackle. There's no shuffling at the two cornerstone positions along your offensive line. And I thought that was pretty refreshing to hear, just how they want to go into this as is at both of those spots. And that Tevin Jenkins, as we were, you know, I reported this months ago and now getting that confirmed, he is playing left guard right now. Nate Davis played right guard in Tennessee. Don't get off a winning horse. Put him at right guard now when he's with the Chicago Bears. I think that's a smart approach. And, you know, with Cody Whitehair and Lucas Patrick, who Ryan Poles, when I asked during the draft, like, do you think you want to get younger at center eventually, whether that's now, whether that's bringing in some depth, or if it's in the future, he said, no, I think we're good at that spot. And of course, Chris Morgan threw out those names, but also Doug Kramer and Dieter Eisland, those guys have experience at center too. I look at this offensive line and it's much more easy to project on May 8th what this thing looks like at the start of training camp and thinking, oh, they might try this guy at this position or they might move Braxton Jones over to the right side. And that continuity, which Chris Morgan talked about, the more you get reps at the same spot, the better and more comfortable you're going to get. And you're not asking guys, even though some guys can do it, it is kind of difficult. Like if you go from the left side to the right side, you have to flip your brain. You have to like move, your hands have to be in a different place. Your feet have to be in a different place. The footwork is the same, but it's flipped. And sometimes that takes a while to get used to. So playing to the strengths of where these players have seen the most success on the offensive line is the smart and path of least resistance approach. And that one, I think, is going to play into the offensive line gelling much more quickly when training camp gets around.
I'm also curious about Rashawn Johnson and the running back room for the Bears. Okay, so
me too.
So everything that we learned from Johnson, he was never necessarily the lead back. Bijan Robinson was the guy. I think you could see him as a solid special teams guy, but I'm wondering, is there a possibility, and again, we're so far away, but I'm just wondering from you, do you think that we could see a thunder and lightning situation where Foreman's a lead back and then Rashawn Johnson's able to do what he does? Because everything I read and everything I've seen from Johnson seems dynamic for a guy that was not necessarily the feature guy at Texas.
I mean, the way they talk about him, you would think that this guy is in line to one day be the number one back in this offense. Mm-hmm. And I know that we haven't seen that. He has 5 starts over 47 games at Texas, which is part of the reason why the Bears like him, because there's not the tread on him at the running back spot as there are on other backs they could have drafted. And even with Deontay Foreman, who we know had the injury issues every season but last season in Carolina, and you have a room of guys who can be number one backs, yet the carries are not going to look like everybody's the number one back. That's just never the way that it works out. There is somebody who emerges as the lead rusher, but I don't know if that means the splits won't be more similar than there is, than having a gap between them. And you know, with Khalil Herbert, I think he's going to get the first crack at being the number one back in this offense, but that's probably not something you're going to have set in stone, because you do have the experience in Foreman coming off a 250 carry season and a fully healthy season. Now, can he have another one of those? You know, history would show us that it's probably not something you should bet on, but you could hope that he is as healthy as he was last year in Carolina and that he's able to pick up off that and go forward in 2023. But with Rashawn Johnson, I mean, this guy's a powerful runner. It was cool watching him at rookie minicamp. And of course, I mean, there's not, you know, there's not supposed to be a bunch of contact. It's not supposed to be very physical because it is early May and they're still not in pads. But you can tell the way that he runs, he's a forceful runner. And of course, the yards after contact that he gained at Texas, that's among the biggest things that stand out. And obviously his special teams contributions. To be a four-phase special teamer means something to him and it means something to the Bears. So of course, his impact is going to start there, but I wouldn't be surprised if he plays his way out of the special teams role and into a more predominant role on offense because of how good he projects to be and what the Bears have seen from him, and now giving him potentially that opportunity where he doesn't have to be in the shadow of a Bijan Robinson or anybody else at the NFL level. Maybe that's a role that sooner or later he ends up taking on and becoming the lead back in this offense.
Courtney, we've been enamored with DJ Moore because when you take a look at it, look at the numbers, he's on paper one of the best wide receivers the Bears have ever had, which is interesting, to say the least. And we are interested in Chase Claypool, what he can do. But Darnell Mooney, based on what you heard from Tyke Tolbert, the wide receiver coach, what's the latest on Darnell Mooney and his injury?
So he's been there, he's been running, which I think is good, because that ankle injury happened week 12 last season, so that was the Sunday after Thanksgiving. We're, you know, 6-7 months removed from that, and Tyke said that he's in there doing rehab every day. So he's, you know, trying to get back. When I asked him about, do you think you'll have him by training camp, his answer was that he certainly hopes so, but he's also, it sounds like Mooney, for as much as he's doing the rehab and he's there and he's present, I'm sure there's the balance of wanting to push it and get back out there and feeling FOMO to a degree, but also listening to the doctors, listening to the trainers, and not putting yourself in a position where you could end up, you know, putting yourself behind the timeline. Because Tyke said, he told Mooney that Rome wasn't built in a day. So I tend to think that there's probably a level of impatience there because Mooney sees what this receiver room looks like. And, you know, he wants to carve out a role for himself in it. And I'm sure he will, because he has been part of this offense. He and Justin Fields have a really good connection, and moving him into the slot this year, I look forward to seeing what his production looks like there. I would imagine we won't see much of him, probably just some stuff off to the side. I think it's a great sign to hear that he is running again, but probably not much in terms of actually seeing him do anything during OTAs, minicamp. I would imagine if this does trend the way that Tolbert was telling me the other day, that he will be back by training camp, but that's still, you know, we still don't have a concrete timeline on that.
I appreciate you and your beak sticking in there on a Monday morning. Thank you very much.
You know, that's what I'm paid to do, and I appreciate you having me. I'll see you on Wednesday.
It is Courtney Cronin, who covers the Bears for ESPN and ESPN.com with us. What? Her beak was in there.
It was in there.
Yeah. I don't feel totally comfortable with this.
I don't. Well, you know what? There's homeroom and there's social studies. I like homeroom. Tell me how social studies going. Let me know how that's going. Meanwhile,
rattle, rattle, thunder, clatter, boom, boom, boom.
Just the nose.
Don't worry, call the car at Slim.
Is the nose an aphrodisiac? Is that a sexual term, Jay Moore, to your knowledge? The nose?
Not that I know of, but I've heard some people using it.
I don't want to know about those people. I don't want to know about them. Fair or foul? You make the call. That's next on Cap and J-Hood.
Cap and J-Hood are back.
Just when I thought I was out, they pulled me back in.
On Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN Chicago.
It's the Captain J-Hood Morning Show here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. Jay Hood with you. Cap is off today here on this Monday morning. 312-332-3776 is our phone number. Let me ask you a question, just between you and I. Are you, you know, are you cheap? Are you someone who likes to be able to hold on to money? If so, it's okay, because in this economy, hey, you want to be able to hold on to every dollar, right? I can understand it. But if you're an NBA player, sure, you want to hold on to your money, because we've heard so many horror stories of players just going out there and playing and winning championships, and all of a sudden they get home, they retire, and they have nothing. But Jared Vanderbilt takes it to another level. So Jared Vanderbilt, if you know the name, plays for the Los Angeles Lakers. He makes $4.4 million a year. And he got called out online for buying $2,000 worth of clothes and wearing them on an NBA game night, only to return them the next day. So here's Vanderbilt, who joined the Lakers from Minnesota at the February deadline. He wore a plain tank top. Guys, you know what that looks like. Plain tank top with an opened white and blue short sleeve button down, completing his fit with like a striped slim fit pants look and all white sneakers. And so, I mean, he went to Saks to get this done, to get to have this fit, only to return them. Okay, so let me ask you a question. I mean, so someone that makes $4.4 million a year, he gets this fit, and it just looks okay. It's not outstanding. It's just, you know, slim jeans. It's really light blue, kind of like a really nice spring or summer shirt with a T-shirt underneath and all white shoes, and he returns them. My question is, like, why? It cost you $2,000. Why return them? You're not going to wear that outfit again? Like, this is commonplace for women, as you well know. Because I believe that that my wife has done this.
Yeah.
The idea, you've been there too, Jamar, right? So yep. they have an outfit for an occasion. They tuck the tag in so that way the tag doesn't hang out, because it's embarrassing if the tag, hey, is that a new outfit? No, I've had this in the closet for a long time.
It's got the sticker on it with the size.
I'm good. I've had this for, I just found it, you know, because it's nice, you know, outside. So I decided to put, and all of a sudden the tag's hanging out like a tongue. Like, wait a minute now. That's not so new. That's not, I mean, it's, to me, you hold on to the outfit. Why is he returning it? Why? I mean, is he that cheap? The outfit was not outstanding. You guys saw this, right? He was all right.
I mean, how much you say he's making?
It's $4.4 million.
Okay, so let's take 50% away for taxes, and then let's you got a $2 million, right?
Yeah.
Then you got mama in there, right?
Yes.
So that's about $1 million, Carl, right?
Yes.
Yeah, he probably took it back. He probably just ain't got it, man.
Have you bought a suit? And then, guys, women, this is commonplace. Because I know that women in my life have been able to do this too, pull this trick of having an outfit and then taking it back the next 48 hours or whatever, right?
My wife and I have the opposite problem. We forget to take things back. We buy things we either don't like or they don't fit right, and then we just forget to return them, and then we're stuck with them, which is just the opposite problem.
And that's okay if it's something you like, though, right? If it's something you like.
Yeah, whatever. We'll figure it out.
Like the tuxedos, that's not the conversation. We're not talking about, like, rent a tux or rent a suit. I'm talking about, like, just a normal outfit. And then you got to hide. You got to make sure. Now, you got this in the back of your mind. Hopefully the tag doesn't stick out. Is it taped in there? All right, good. Good. Is it tagged? I mean, that's the whole thing. You don't want that. Could you imagine, like, hey, Shay, that's a great outfit. Oh, I've had this for a while. I just decided to bring it out. And all of a sudden, the tag's flapping in the wind right behind you. How embarrassing is that?
Honestly, this sounds like a pretty good scheme. If you can figure out the tag thing, keep yourself from getting embarrassed, going and getting nice outfits and then taking them back, you never have to spend anything on them. It's not a terrible scheme.
I don't like the idea, though, of just something. I cannot, if it's a suit, if it's a tuxedo, you can understand that, right? But just a normal fit, I mean, Who are you impressing with that?
What's surprising to me is the Saks employee who posted on Instagram about this, and now they like hate Jared Vanderbilt and will root against the Lakers because this happened. You have a hard time convincing me that the employee of the mega retail place is deeply hurt by this. Like this, I feel like it's victimless crime a little bit.
I would agree with that. And also, can I just add this too? Can I add this? Like when the players come out of off the bus and down the tunnel for that whole like runway walkway thing, like they're getting LeBron and AD. They're not filming him.
That's not right.
I'm just saying, like inside the NBA, I'm Ernie Johnson as the Lakers come off. Look who, and then Charles would be like, "Who is that?" Well, that's Jared Vanderbilt, Charles. Oh, I didn't even recognize. They wouldn't know who that is.
I thought he was the equipment manager.
Just like, and so he's got to look the part because of why? Because of why? Because
he's in the know. He's with everybody else that's doing it. But we got to understand one thing. His average outfit is not ours. I'm not paying $2,000 for a pair of jeans.
No, no. Not just, but just like, no one's paying attention to Jared Vanderbilt. You're not AD. You're not LeBron. When you come off the bus, they're not filming you on TNT or ESPN. It's just a player. I got to have this fit because I just got to have this fit. Nobody cares.
When you come off the bus, LeBron be like, hold my bag.
Really? I mean, $2,000, they are dripping in gold and great outfits or whatever the clothier gave them. That's probably $10,000 or more. Here you come with your $2,000. Well, then guess what? You look cheap. You're the least of them with that outfit versus everyone else in the league that are stars. I just think it's crazy. I guess the question is, guys, have you done that? Outside of a tuxedo and a suit, have you had an actual summer outfit that you return the next day? 312-332-3776 is our phone number. We'll get your calls on that and also your tweets at ESPN1000 on social on that. By the way, Cub fans, you know who's in town? The Cardinals and Wilson Contreras. Can you still root for him? I'll explain that in 2 minutes on Cap and J Hood.